is Trevor Davis. I'm sounding the alarm. Today is September 21st, 2008. And today I've been ministering with a woman named Scotty Biscosi. And she's gone through tribulation recently as judgment is in the land. But she's experienced God's Passover in the sense of where judgment was taking place. She experienced his deliverance when there was the great Hurricane Ike down in Texas. And she's cried out to the Lord, and the Lord spoke to her today, particularly from 1 Kings 19. That's where Elijah withstood Jezebel, the false prophets of Baal, and his priests against that God. And then Elijah became discouraged. But the Lord sent impartation to encourage him. And this speaks to us, the saints of the last days. I pray this speaks to you. Here's Scotty.
Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you. Often the journey is too much for us too. But we need to continue to eat the Word of God and be filled by the Spirit of the living God. Has God called you who are exhausted from the battle to the point of death? You just wish Jesus will come today because this world holds nothing for you but pain and suffering. Nonetheless, for Elijah, but he ate again. And the word says he was strengthened by that particular food. And that he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. Horeb means a place of being parched like a drought, where the earth cracks open from the dryness. It is desolate in a place of such destruction. Have you ever fasted and prayed to only find yourself in Horeb? No preacher can preach you out of it. No friend can drive you out of that cave that you're in. And the prophets can't speak a word over you to get you out, lift you up, or get you loose. What do you suppose happened in that cave with Elijah? Well, let me tell you. He spent the night there. But the word doesn't say he slept. It just says he spent the night there. Like us, he probably went through all the what if, why me, God, where are you questions. When God sees our fear, he doesn't turn away. He confronts it. He says to Elijah, what are you doing here, Elijah? He replies, as so many of us do when fear grips our mind, I've been very zealous for you, Lord. But the Israelites, they have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and have put your prophets to death. And guess what, God? I'm the only one left, and they're trying to kill me too. All alone, hiding in a cave, fearing for his life, because the priestess of Satan got in his face and threatened him to death. How did Elijah get here? How could we or he have forgotten so quickly the fire from heaven, the power placed on him to lead? Yet in his quaking, the Lord says to him, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. When fear comes, go to the mountain and wait for the Lord to pass by. The wind will come, and it will blow things around, tearing things up. Earthquakes will come, and the earth will open up and devour around and about us and make things unsure for those who stand. The fire will come, and it will burn up anything that has of no value, only to yield the clean spirit that can now hear the still, small voice of God. When it comes, we are compelled to cover our faces from God, for he is God, and we must strain to hear his voice. Once more, God asked Elijah, what are you doing here? And don't you know, just like us, we repeat our fears all over again as if God didn't hear it the first time. And we whine. God's response is, go back. Can you imagine the thought going through Elijah's mind? Go back? Are you out of your mind, Lord? They want to kill me. But God says, go back to Damascus the way you came. And Ananias, king now. Five, I got your praise. Six, I broke your back, so you can't and won't be able to keep your oath to the God of Israel. Come on, curse God and die. Eight, got you now, you mealy mouth, whiny little Christian. You can't even summon up enough strength, can you now? But suddenly, as the number reaches nine, the cry breaks from within this Christian and says, Jesus, help me, for I am near death. I have had enough. The wind begins to blow and breaks the rocks of insults the enemy has hurled at you. It throws the enemy off balance. What is this wind, the enemy thinks? The wind of the Holy Spirit? Suddenly, the earth quakes all around you as you watch the enemy fall, but he does not come nigh you. And the fire burns away all doubt and fear in you, but suddenly you can hear his voice. What are you afraid of? Have I not saved you time and time again? His voice beckons us to cover ourselves, as he is so great. He is Jehovah. He tells us to get up, pull up your bootstraps of the preparation of peace, tighten your belt of truth, put on that helmet of salvation, for it will protect your thoughts. I've given you a breastplate of righteousness, and I give you a sword of the Spirit, that you should unsheathe it and attack the enemy, and your shield of faith shall protect you. Get ready, for the great battle comes. It is time. Wake up. Do not be afraid. I will never leave you nor forsake you. And this is what the Lord gave me. And I am so humbled by what he gave me that I couldn't even speak for a few moments. I was in tears, thinking to myself, Lord, I'm so sorry I've whined to you. Because I'm so lost out here, and yet I didn't dwell on the things that you have done. We're coming into a time, Trevor, that we need to come together as believers to not allow ourselves to forget what God has done, to stand firm, to tighten up our belts. If we can't make it through this, we're not going to make it through some of the harder things that are coming down the pike. We see the world market. We see what's happening on Wall Street. We watch about these world natural disasters with hurricanes, 650 miles wide, the largest hurricane ever seen in America. This is an accident. These are the things that the Lord told us to watch for. And as we see them, rather than grow afraid, we need to strengthen ourselves in the Lord. Stay in the Word of God. Stay in the Word of God. It must be our very breath. It has to be the Word of God.
You know, that's so true, Scotty. God's given us his Word. He's recorded his truth in what we call the Bible, the Scripture, the Word of God. And we have the prophets, the apostles. We have Jesus himself outlining the things that were coming, that when it did come, we would remember that he had told us before. He's told us all these things, and he's told us to prepare, to be watching, praying, looking for him, living a life that pleases him. And everything that can be shaken will be shaken, and things in heaven, things in the earth. And you want to be so anchored in the Word of God, in the Scripture. As you said earlier, the Word of God is the truth, and you need to buy the truth and sell it not. Commit yourself to the Lord. I just pray, Scotty, that this really speaks to the people, because, yes, the servants of the Lord have been speaking these things that were coming that are breaking forth in our world today. Even children and elderly people have been having dreams and visions and been proclaiming. But the good news is Jesus Christ is truly coming back, a wonderful Lord. And these things that we will endure, it'll be hard. But this is how you become strong in faith, strong in the Lord, and the power of his might for his glory, for his kingdom. So you don't want to have one foot in, one foot out. It's time to be totally committed. Crucify yourself. Crucify your flesh to Jesus Christ, to the cross, and live in him. Live in newness of life by the Spirit of God, by the glory of the Father that rose him from the dead. You know, there's going to be darkness, but there's going to be light in the Lord. A wonderful, exciting, awesome day. But I would turn out the distractions. Turn off the liars. Turn off those that don't love the Lord. And protect your environment. Keep your garments white in the Lord Jesus Christ. And God's faithful. He's going to keep you. He's going to see you through the end. And he's going to be glorified in a mighty, mighty way, such as never before. So we bless you. You know, Scotty, the true purpose of ministry is to prepare the people for the coming of the Lord like a chaste virgin waiting for the one that they will marry. And I know you still feel very strongly about that, too.
This is my heart's desire, and this is the heart desire of the bride. You know, we can be a friend of God, or we can be a bride of God, and we choose that. But if you choose to be the bride of God, then you have to know that there, with that will come great persecution.
Mm-hmm.
Great persecution.
And we're to rejoice when we suffer and persecuted for his name's sake.
That's right, amen.
Scotty, thank you for sharing. And we just bless the listeners that they would seek the Lord and find him, seek him with their whole heart, and have a wonderful, awesome experience with the Lord, because he loves them.
Amen. Amen.
God's faithful.